Well, good morning. If you would, turn your Bible to 1 John chapter 3, if you're not there. And the text was just read a moment ago, verses 10 through 13, so we're not covering too much material this particular week. We will get through 1 John, but we're taking it little by little and trying to digest this book. So let me ask you a question. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? And so what kind of evidence is needed to get a conviction? Well, John, in our text, John talks about the authentic Christian. And he gives us the evidence that is necessary to get a conviction of being a Christian. And so, first of all, John wants us to know that it's important that we reflect God. That we reflect God. And so, we know you're a Christian by the way you live. When your life reflects the life of God. John says that others should be able to identify us as Christians through our righteous reflection of the Father. As a Christian, we are to mirror God. Anyone who does not do what is right, John says, he is not of God. Verse 10, he says, in this the children of the devil are manifest. The children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. And so a righteous life is what you look for in a Christian, in a believer. You know, I am a reflection of my earthly father. There are many things as I look at myself. I can look in the mirror and I can see my dad. I can see my dad in many ways. Just things he did, mannerisms, and there's just certain things where I can see I'm a reflection of my father. And my wife has told me, you're just like your dad many a times. And so, and I take that as a compliment. All right, I take it as a compliment. He tended to be a little argumentative about things, and in that sense, we didn't quite match. But anyway, just as I am a reflection of my earthly father, I should be a reflection of my heavenly father, and that's true of you as well. The Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God as dear children. And if you'll remember back in chapter 1, when we talked about walking in the light and what that means. And the very first thing we saw was walking in the light means that we take on the nature of God in daily living. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanseth us from all sin. And so, one can divide Christians into two broad classes. You have the theoretical Christian and you have the practical Christian. The theoretical Christian has obeyed the gospel. He wears the name of Christ, but he does not live like God. He simply is in name only. It's theory only. And then the practical Christian, he reminds others of God. He reflects the nature of God in daily life. And John says whether or not we are children of God is determined by the way that we live. And so you expect that God's children will live a certain way. That God's children will live righteously in this world because that is the life that God has called us to live. There was a soldier. He walked down the street in one of the war town war-torn towns after one of the great wars. And he noticed there was a little boy who was peeping into a window of a bakery as the baker was putting hot rolls there on the shelves so that people could purchase them. And that soldier noticed that, and he walked over to that little boy, and he walked him into the bakery. And he purchased several rolls, and he gave them to the little boy. And he told the little boy, he says, have a wonderful day. And the little boy just looked up at him and said, "Mister, are you God?" Because that's what he expected. But that's a beautiful thing. So has anyone ever said to you that you remind them of God? Has anyone ever said that after witnessing your life, your morals, they just knew that you were a Christian? Has anyone ever said that? Hopefully they have. We should be a reflection of our Father. That's one of the evidences that you look for, all right? But secondly, the second evidence is love. Our love for our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. John says that others should be able to identify us by our love for one another. And brotherly love is essential. It's an essential characteristic of the Christian. Now, the Holy Spirit stresses the importance of this virtue in two ways, by two things, by a declaration and a demonstration. A declaration and a demonstration. In the declaration, he refers to the antiquity of the brotherly love command. And that's verse 11. He says, "For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." And so this is the historic message of Christianity. Love. Love for your brother. Love for your sister. And so if you remember, Jesus long ago commanded his disciples to love one another. In fact, he upped it and says that you are to love one another as I have loved you. And so this is the message. This is the message of Christians. We are to love our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Now, in his demonstration, the Holy Spirit holds up before us the blood-soaked example of Cain. Cain was of the wicked one. Cain is love's opposite. Notice verse 12, right after he says in verse 11 that we should love one another, notice he says, "not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother." And why did he murder him? Because his works are evil and his brother's righteous. And so Cain was of the wicked one. And so he's an example of love's opposite. If you're a Christian, hatred is to have no place in your life, because hatred is of the devil. And if you show hate or you don't love your brother or your sister, you clearly are not part of God's family. You see, the word love that the Holy Spirit used here has to do with the will, where you will someone's good. You do what is in the best interest of another person. That's what love is. It's doing what is in the best interest of your brother and your sister in Christ. Sometimes that's to rebuke them. You know, if they're not following God and doing what they're supposed to, sometimes doing what's in the best interest will come in the form of a rebuke. Now, not being unloving and unkind, but confronting a brother with his or his sister, her unfaithfulness. Doing what's in the best interest of another is getting them back on track. That's what's in their best interest. Not just to say, "Oh, I'm behind you and I support you. I'm there, brother." No, you got to lead them back to the right way. That's what real love is. It is seeking the highest good of others. And that's what God wants us to do. It's what Jesus did. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And so love is to permeate our lives. In fact, if you can really break down 1 John, where John gives three tests of being a Christian. He gives the love test, the truth test, and the obedience test. That's really the book of 1 John. And so, if you're of God, you will love. If you're of God, you will believe the truth about Jesus. If you're of God, you will live an obedient life. That's just the way it is. And so love is so vital. It's so important. And all over the book of 1 John, he pounds home the importance of love. Love. And we don't love people if we don't evangelize. If we can just stand by and watch people go to hell, we don't love like we should. We don't love the way that we should. And if we can just watch a brother or sister, you know, fall away and not do everything in our power to bring them back to the right way, we don't love the way God wants us to love. But then number three, John says this third evidence is by his relationship to the world, the Christian's relationship to the world. Furthermore, John implies that others should be able to recognize us as Christians by our distinctive relationship with the world. Okay? The Christian is to be different from the world. The difference will inspire some and it will irritate others. That's just the way it works in the world. So as we live in the world, the bottom line is many people in the world is not going to like us. They're not going to like us because of our righteous stand, because we don't agree with their immorality. And because we speak against that, that is going to irritate them. That's going to cause conflict. And that's the reason that God's people are persecuted all through the Bible. I mean, think about it. You think about the early Christians. Why were they being persecuted? Because they were Christians. Because of their stand. Because of their righteousness. And so this difference, it inspires some, but it irritates others. And so John says, don't be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. Look at verse 13. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. And so John says, don't be surprised by the world's reaction. Don't be surprised if they don't like you. And there's a good chance they're not going to like you. And so a righteous life will not only indict, but it will also infuriate the world. And so our righteous life is an indictment. And Jesus' righteous life was an indictment of the world. And that's the reasons they put him on the cross. You know, Abel's righteousness filled the darkened mind of Cain with envy. And John says, and for what reason did he slay him? Because his deeds were evil and his brothers righteous. Why did he kill his brother? Because his brother was righteous. That's why. And because his deeds were evil. But his righteous life was a conviction. And Cain couldn't take it. And so the world's reaction to truth and holiness is mixed. Some people will be okay with it, but there's a good part of the world that's not going to be okay with it. An evil heart may become violent in its resistance of righteousness. And so that's where persecution comes in at. That's why we see Christians being killed for their faith. In Revelation 6, you have a bunch of souls under the altar who've been beheaded for the word of God and their testimony of Jesus Christ. Why were they beheaded? Because of their stand. Because they stood with God. Because they lived a righteous life. And it was an indictment to the world. And so, it matters, our relationship to the world. And let me ask you this. If the world loves you, then you have a problem. Because the world shouldn't love you. And so if the world loves you, then maybe you're a whole lot more like the world than like God. Because if you are truly living for God and you take your stand with Him, the world is not going to like you. They're just not. They're not going to like you. And because as soon as you bring up anything that's going on in our culture, I mean, you can get into the whole transgender or gay thing, you know, And get into that and see what kind of conversations you have. See the viciousness that will just ooze out of people when they attack you. Because you don't believe what they believe. You don't stand where they stand. And so I expect the world not to like me, not to love me. And to me, that's a good thing because I'm not trying to win the world's favor. Now, I love the world, and I'm going to do everything I can to evangelize and spread the good news of Jesus Christ, that those people will be right with God. I'm going to do that because I love the world, but I know that the world is not going to love me back. They're just not. And that's okay. And so don't be upset and don't think you're doing something wrong. You're not. You're just living a righteous life, and that is to be expected. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we've loved the brethren. And so, as we look at the evidence that is necessary to be convicted for being a Christian, guilty or innocent? Guilty or innocent? Hopefully, you're guilty 100% for being a believer, a child of God. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never responded to the message of the good news of the gospel. You've not come to faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. He's the only avenue. He's the only way to God. If you miss Jesus, you miss out on heaven. And so this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we want to encourage you to come forward this morning. Let us share with you the message of God's love that He has shown us in Jesus Christ. And so whatever your need is, if you have other needs in your life, things that you would love for us to pray about, we would love to pray about those things too. We're interested in everything that interests you. And so if you have any need, please come while we sing and invite you to respond.